Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're here with you every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show. And we like to think we know what we're talking about and that we go places other, well, we happen to know we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, you have a backstage pass to our website, philhendryshow.com, which enables you to take a look at our show, to look at me, which is a mixed blessing in that it's not the most pleasant sight, but some of the stuff I do is pretty weird. And you can see it. Now, what you're looking at right now is something that wasn't all that, it didn't take a whole lot of talent for me to bring this up on the screen. This is simply an internet page that describes the states that are playing Powerball.
Yeah, this is huge. See right there, right there.
I can see it. Why is he doing that?
Bud, don't stick your finger right in front of Margaret. This is the Powerball. What are you all excited about, Bud?
What? Are you kidding me? Oh, man, get a load of him. You love Santa's $425 million.
What?
$425 million.
425. Count it. Read it and weep. $425 million, Margaret, in the Powerball jackpot.
Oh, my God. You know what I find? I think that's sad. And I'll tell you why I think it's sad. Someone is going to win that. And there is every likelihood that they're not going to know really how to use that money.
What? Yeah, but why would you say that?
Because I know the human species, and I know you give a human being $425 million that he hasn't worked for. All he did was buy a ticket. And I guarantee you that person's going to be broke in very short order.
Well, that's the common view of that a lot of people have. But, you know, I really don't know. I don't know. I mean, there have been millionaires, and there have been millionaires, and there have been millionaires that have been created from these different state lotteries and Powerball and mega riches and mega millions and all this jazz. And there have been people that have won some big jackpots. And it seems to me you never hear from them again.
Well, no, they do reports on them.
Yeah, I've been a lot of times the TV stations say, here's a guy that won a millionaire. You know, he won last year. Let's see what he's doing. Yeah, and what do you think it shows? It shows the guys like on Skid Row or something like that.
No, it does not.
Not always, Bud. It's not gonna, the guys on Skid Row. But it's, you know, I don't see those stories, what you're talking about. Saying every time there's a...
Oh, they always have some story. Here is so-and-so, and he won this much money.
I rarely see that. Every now and again, they'll do a feature on that. But I wish that there was a way of following up a little bit more. Not that we want to do anything about it. You know, I'm not going to say, oh, you're not spending your money wisely. We're going to take it back, you know. But I would like to just, like, have the right to just walk into their house or something.
What? You're out of your mind.
Of course I'm kidding, but I'd like to be able to. Now, the state law says you won $500 million. Yes, okay, we have the right to walk in and see the crap that you bought.
That would be very interesting.
Yeah, I bet you most people buying crap. You're absolutely right.
I don't know. I don't know. Some people, if they're smart, I saw one of the recent Powerball, whatever the hell it was an enormous jackpot. And one of the individuals kept very quiet. He didn't want to be identified. He had his attorney deal with everything. He this and that, and he contacted the this and the that and the who, and he was very beautiful about it. And I really admired, I don't know who the guy, to this day, I don't know who the guy was. I know he was in the state of Maryland because it was the most, I think it was last year they had some huge, I think it was a Powerball jackpot. It was enormous. And remember, there was some controversy about some woman that there's always one person who bought a ticket that she said was for her, but the other one's for the other five people.
Yeah, that is cheap. Everybody always trying to get away with something like that.
Yeah, but you don't know. Maybe they're telling the truth.
Yeah, right. Every single Powerball, every time they have a Powerball, there's somebody saying, oh yeah, I didn't,
Well, you're saying they're lying.
I'm saying they're lying, yeah.
Well, that's great. So they're lying, huh?
Well, yeah, I got to go with Robert on this, man. I mean, all of a sudden, hey, hello, I just bought a Powerball. Oh, I'm sorry. This isn't the one that I bought for you five. This is the one I bought for myself.
What?
So I don't know how they generally a lawsuit is filed. And the judge, I think, probably in cases like if I were the judge, I'd say split it. All five of you, just split it. Just don't be a greedy so-and-so, okay?
But, Your Honor, I split it, okay? Well, that's not fair.
Well, you know what? I got no way of knowing, man. You got two tickets. A bunch of people are pissed off here. You're too stupid
to buy a ticket and to say to them, see this one here, this is my yin, right?
Well, go, didn't do that.
What?
You know, this one, my yin.
No, you idiot.
He's exaggerating, Rob.
I'm just talking about, I would make it very clear. Yeah, that's right. This one's my yin.
Yeah, you're going to look like you're a retard.
Would you knock it off with a retard? I'm saying, Robert, if you buy a ticket, you make it clear to everybody. If you don't make it clear, don't give me this bull crap. They always got some story, oh, I left it in my other pants, you know, like the old joke about the, well.
About the what?
Condom.
You are vulgar.
In any event,
You left the condom in your other pants? I don't get it.
Would you, never mind. So, yeah, so that's always a big fight. So right now, this thing has $425 million in it. And here's a story from Fox News. Powerball, a good investment? Probably not, yet millions buy tickets. It's true to say that you have a better chance of being struck by lightning than winning the Powerball, but that woefully understates... It woefully understates your chances. A good bet, someone will win. It's the gambler's mantra, somebody's got to win, so why not me? The first part is true, somebody will win the Powerball jackpot. Chuck Strutt, executive director of the Multi-State Lottery Association, predicts there's about a 60% chance it'll happen Wednesday. Maybe better if there's a flurry of last-minute ticket purchasers picking unique numbers. The jackpot already has defied long odds by rolling over 16 consecutive times without anyone hitting the big prize, which now stands at $425 million. The cash value is $278 million.
What's that mean?
I think that means the taxes taken out.
Now, you don't take it over time.
I don't hear. Nobody ever wants it over the 20 years. You ever heard of anybody wanting it over the 20 years? I've never heard of anybody wanting it over the I wouldn't want it over the 20 years. I want to state, Mr. Henry, would you like... No, I want it now. I want it now. Well, I mean, sir. No, don't give me the sir. Give it all to me now, okay? Well, why is that? Because I don't trust you guys are going to have it in 20 years, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know what it'll be worth in 20 years. I want it now. And if I could, I'd like it all in gold bars. Yes, sir.
Oh, that... Oh, I'm sure they're not going to do that.
I know they're not going to do that, but I would... At least I would make the request. The jackpot already has defied long odds. As the drought increases, so too will the chances of it ending on the next draw because ticket sales spike with a growing jackpot. Someone will win eventually. It's a bad bet. It'll be you. It's true to say that you have a better chance of being struck by lightning than winning the Powerball, but that woefully understates the danger of lightning. Tim Norfolk, a University of Akron mathematics professor who teaches a course on gambling, puts the odds of a lightning strike in a person's lifetime at 1 in 5,000 or 1 in 9,000,000 on one particular day.
What's that mean?
It means in your lifetime, there's a 1 in 5,000 chance that you'll be hit by lightning on any given day. If you were to say, well, what about just today? What if my life lasted for just 24 hours?
No, it'd just be like 1 in what?
1 in 9,000,000.
That's not bad.
That's not bad if you're only planning on living one day.
Do you understand what he's saying? It's just one day.
What do you mean one day?
Are you listening to me, man? I'm saying if you only lived one... Never mind. One day, 1 in 9,000,000. The odds of winning the Powerball jackpot, 1 in 175,000,000 with no assurances that you won't have to split the prize with others. What were we just talking about? While weather is the go-to analogy for such astronomical odds, Norfolk suggests there are better ones. For example, you'd have a slightly better chance of randomly picking the name of one specific female in the United States, 1 in 157 million, according to the latest census. What the hell does that mean? Should you win the jackpot, there's a good chance you'll have to share, and not just with family, friends, and Uncle Sam. The odds of someone winning increases as the ticket sales do. So, too, do the odds of duplicate tickets, especially for people who choose their own numbers rather than letting the computer pick. I wonder if it's better to let the computer pick.
Then nobody's going to trust it, Danny. You let the computer pick, they don't think it's fixed.
Yeah, people are very paranoid. They're going to say, oh, if you let the computer pick it, I know it's going to pick numbers that I don't want.
In other words, if the computer spits out numbers that, So anyway, the jackpot, $425 million. Margaret Gray is in studio with us, and we're going to talk to you, Margaret, in a moment here about, you were on some Occupy Toronto website.
Oh, just for fun. I was over there. I was giving somebody a hard time, and I saw an awful lot of pro-Palestinian propaganda there. Now, I am very pro-Palestinian, but I saw too much. And it occurred to me that Canadians, God bless them, because I think the Canadian people are wonderful people, but they're virulently anti-Semitic. They just hate Jews in Canada. I don't know what it is.
They hate Jews in Canada.
Yes, I don't know what it is. I think it's because of the long-standing, very, very Aryan tradition they have up there. I don't know what it was, but I got into it with a few people, and so you wanted to talk to me about that?
Well, I'm going to ask some questions about that, yeah. We're also going to have Dr. Jim Sadler on to talk about the odds of winning a Powerball here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and others as we progress on this Monday, the day after the four-day Thanksgiving thing, man, but the holiday season, it just has began. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
If you're looking at Phil TV again, not to keep drawing attention to Phil TV in HD, but we just wanted to mention that what you're looking at there is an actual current map of the Powerball states. We had an outdated map that did not show some of the states that have since joined the Powerball party, if you will. You can see New York is a part of it.
That's bitching what you're doing right there.
Yeah, I'm just doing a little blend in there. It's a little fade in.
Oh, that's nice. That's sort of a little television effect, huh?
Yeah. I'm just, hi. Anyway, so you'll see that New York is one of the states, New Jersey, and these are states that have recently come on board. You'll see of the contiguous, contiguous.
Now, what's that mean?
The contiguous? That means the states that are all together. We've got two states that are not contiguous. Which ones are those, bud?
They're not what?
That are not contiguous.
That are not contiguous?
Right. You know what that means?
Yeah, I know. It means like it's a contiguously bad block or something like that. Something's contiguous.
That's continuous. Contiguous.
Do you know what contiguous means?
Of the states?
Never mind. There's two. Do you know, Robert?
Virgin Islands is one.
Oh, is that right? Virgin Islands is one?
Yeah, and Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Boy, you guys. Woo! Man.
What?
Virgin Islands is one.
Oh, state.
Yes.
So, Virgin Islands is, oh, no, it isn't.
No, it's not. Virgin Islands is not a state. There's two states that are not contiguous, Alaska and Hawaii. The rest of them are, and there they are, man. And here, when you're looking at this, there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 states that are not a part of this Powerball thing. Why not, huh? How come California, Nevada, is that Utah? Or what the hell is that, man?
That's Idaho.
That ain't Idaho. That's Utah. It's California. Yeah, it's Utah. It's California, Nevada, Utah, Wyoming. And I only know that that's Wyoming because I drove through Wyoming on my way into Nebraska. There was a whole lot of weird. I had to drive from Portland once to Chicago, and I saw a whole lot of that part of America. It's Interstate 80. You know these interstates, they all have their own character, you know. Interstate 10 and Interstate 20, I got to know over the years in my younger years because I was constantly doing this cross-country thing between the South and California. And the main interstate to the south, southeast from California is 10, is the 10. And then that splits into either the 20 or the 10, depending upon whether you want to go north to Atlanta or you want to go...
north to Alaska.
What's that? Are you trying to be funny?
Yeah, north to Alaska.
Oh, I know that song. Do you remember that song, Phil?
I'm talking about something.
No, but north to Alaska, the rush is on.
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, what are you looking at me like I'm the freak? He's the one that started singing it.
North to Alaska. North to Atlanta is what I'm talking about. North to Atlanta. What was that you just sang?
You don't know the song. Wonderful song by Johnny Horton. North to Alaska, do-do-do, something, I don't know.
Yeah, and there goes an 1814, took a little trip.
Yes, yes. And along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi.
That's not north to Alaska.
Yes, it was a Johnny Horton.
It was Johnny Horton that ain't north to Alaska.
What are you talking about? In north to Alaska in 1814.
Shut up. That one is,
Yeah, go ahead. Try and think about it, Phil. Come up with a good answer. That's north to Alaska.
No, it isn't. It's called the Battle of New Orleans or something.
Yeah, right. That sounds like a real original name.
When did you come up with that one, Phil? Just now, or did you write it down on a shirt sleeve or something? My God.
Margaret, are you that stupid? What do you mean in 1814 Colonel Jackson took a trip to Alaska? He went down to New Orleans, to use your way of saying things.
You called me stupid.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Woo! Mm-mm. Boy's got some guts there.
I'd say he does.
All right, excuse me, if you don't mind, Mrs. Jefferson, but I have got...
Oh, Mrs. Jefferson.
I'm telling you that this... Forget it. All right. So good luck to whoever the Powerball people are. I know it ain't me. That's for damn sure. And one of the reasons I never buy a Powerball ticket is because I won't win. And why do I know I won't win? Because I've never won anything in my life. I've never won anything in my life.
You're absolutely sure?
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. I think I've won, like a raffle? No, never, never. Everything I've ever gotten of any value, I've had to pay for it. I've had to, I always pay for it. I never, All right, and when I say pay for it, man, I mean pay for it in ways I don't even want to tell you. All right, so Dr. Jim Sadler joining us from San Diego this evening, and he is at the, this is a diviners conference?
Hi, Phil.
How are you doing?
Great.
What is a divining or divining conference?
It's an interesting offshoot of the paranormal world. People believe that you can divine water.
Dr. Sadler, it's Margaret Gray.
Yes.
The way you said that was very. It said water. Are you from back east?
Yes, I am. Originally from Brooklyn, New York. Yes. Is that it?
Yes, that's all.
Because I get a little insecure. The very first thing someone asks me is the way I talk.
No, I understand that. So this is people that believe that you can divine water?
Yeah, it's like a divining rod. And it goes back to biblical times.
Hold on, but let's just get this out. But Dr. Sadler suffered an injury to his tongue. He was... You worked in a circus, right?
That is correct, yes. And I worked with big cats in much the same way that Siegfried and Roy do.
That way... Well, I just heard what you said.
Yes, I have a difficult time. I had an accident with one of our big cats. It was a... Siberian tiger.
And what it was your mouth, right?
That is correct. I'd rather not say what.
I know what happened.
Well, who's that? Is that Robert?
Yes, doctor. I won't say nothing.
Well, what happened?
Well, during the break, okay?
Oh, great. So I'm going to come back to, three people laughing?
Well, Dr. Sadler, we got to let people, I can assure you, we'll be sensitive, okay?
All right. Well, in any event, yes, I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
All right, I wanted to ask you, let's get into this Powerball, because there's a lot of people that got their hopes riding on winning this jackpot.
I know, and we've presented papers, we have introduced legislation through Jim Carnegie, who is the state senator here in San Diego, that whoever is the beneficiary of these winnings... that these individuals for the betterment of society, for the protection of our children, for the protection of really the moral order and the moral core of our society, that we not make a spectacle of the winners of these Powerball jackpots, that we not put their faces on the front page, that we not talk about the fact that they won, that we not make them into instant media stars. The danger is to those of us who work very hard for the money that we have, and we open up a newspaper and we see someone who was, and I have nothing against this, Phil, but someone who was picking radishes maybe yesterday, or picking leafy green tomatoes, and today they are a half a billion dollars richer.
All right, we'll be back with Dr. Jim Sadler to talk more about the downside of winning the Powerball. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm not Phil doing the vacuum Hendry. Cleaner. The vacuum cleaner is the booth over.
And welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Jim Sadler with us at one of the many paranormal expos. Shouldn't call it a paranormal expo, should I, Doc? Or,
one of the expos. It's a meet convention at product sales for psychology, parapsychology, as well as metaphysics, their books. I would say, Phil, that the divining rods, these kinds of things, are more of a novelty, you know.
All right, so I was telling this story. You don't mind me telling the story? Because I don't know how we got off on this thing. We were talking about selling, salesmen, you know, and being able to pitch, because I heard you talking to somebody there.
Right, well, there's a man next to me. Hi. And he is selling. The booth that we have here is the paranormal booth and the psychology booth. We have my book, which is my journey, which I had named it My Struggle, and they had said to me, and you probably noticed, Phil, that Hitler's book was called My Struggle. I said, well, it was Mein Kampf, and they said, yeah, but... So I called my book is My Journey.
You were going to call it My Struggle?
I was going to call it My Struggle, and they said to me that in Germany, in the European market, if my book was going to be Mein Kampf, and they most likely would not be able to get it on the bookshelves in Germany because it's against the law.
And you didn't know that, huh?
No, I don't speak German.
No, I understand. That's a good. So your book is My Journey, and it describes your
my studying to involve myself not only in psychology but also in paranormal psychology. And but I had a man next to me here. What is your name, by the way?
Steve Seal.
You're Steve Seal?
Uh-huh.
This man is selling, what are you selling? Floor sweepers? So I had a lady come up to me.
All right. Well, I when you said that to me, It reminded me of something I was sharing with Dan, and I'll share with my audience, because Dan and I started talking about salespeople, you know.
Yeah, hold on a minute, Phil. What? That's the guy right here, floor sweeper.
That's where it is, though.
No, I don't have floor sweepers here. I'm sorry, Phil. I'm not selling floor sweepers. I'm a psychologist.
Oh, yeah, okay. Set them over here, Doc.
That's what I did. See, what's happening, Phil, is where they set us up. This is a convention that's for paranormal and for ghost stuff, okay? And I don't know what happened, but they were not able to sell all the booths, so they started selling the booths off to some of these guys. This guy's got a floor sweeper. There's a guy over here. He's selling mouse traps. You ready for that? He's selling decon rat poison? He's selling decon, so they got a guy selling decon rat poison.
Wait a minute. I thought you said that this was...
I know what I said. I know what I said, but that's not what's going on.
All right. When you were talking about selling, I was telling Dan... You know what? All of a sudden, the story doesn't seem to be all that...
I would rather we move on, because I am not the floor sweeper. I know it's right here.
I hear the floor sweepers here are fantastic.
Yeah, well, there you go. You go ahead. Jesus, I got to tell you, Phil, I am really, really disappointed. I'm really, really disappointed in the individuals that set this up, because I'm here simply trying to...
No, I understand, Doctor. You know, let's just talk about Powerball and talk about your theories having to do with Powerball, having to do with the expectations it sets up.
Right. Well, I feel that the worst thing about Powerball among the many things that are bad about Powerball is that you have individuals that have never been into money in their lives, and suddenly they are into money after winning a very large jackpot. For anyone that has worked for his money, has come into his money by way of hard work, such as myself. I didn't think I'd be in the psychology game. I thought that I would be in entertainments, working with big cats, working with animals my entire life. I loved it. I wanted to do that. But when Theodore, which was the name of this big Siberian I was working with, when Theodore took off after me, that was the end of that, you know, so I knew that I wasn't going to do that no more. And
why couldn't you?
Well, I mean, when you don't trust the animal, and there was a level of trust in the animal act that we did, which I don't want to get into it.
Why not?
Who said that?
Well, that was Robert. Robert, let me, he's asking why not.
Yeah, I don't mind Mr. Hendry asking. I hear this distant voice say, why not? Who was that?
That's Robert.
No, I'm sorry, doctor, I just want, why not?
When you develop a unique animal act, a large cat act, like the one what I had developed with Theodore.
Who's Theodore?
That's the name of the tiger. Jesus.
It's the tiger that Dr. Sadler was working with.
You said he was a psychologist and everything.
That's why I'm confused.
He's a psychologist now. He was working in the circus.
Well, I rather say that I worked with big cats. I don't like saying I was working in this circus, because it sounds like most people will say, oh, were you one of the clowns that came out of the cars? And no, I wasn't, although I have to tell you, I felt like it after a few weeks, because, you know, what are you going to do when you've got half of your tongue missing?
What happened to your tongue?
Phil?
He had a very unique aspect to his act where he would kiss, should I say?
Yeah.
Tongue kiss the tiger.
Tongue kiss the tiger? The tiger going to take your tongue away?
Well, that's exactly what happened.
But that's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Thanks a lot. So I don't have half of my tongue, and I'm an idiot.
Well, Dr. Sadler, you must know that where people are going to talk, and consider what you did to be a little bit brain dead.
Well, believe me, I've beaten myself up about it over the years. I've beaten myself not only because of what Theodore did to me, but what I ultimately had to do to Theodore. I had no choice. I carried a service revolver. It's not unlike a police revolver that you would use from time to time in the theatrics of an animal act, but mine was loaded. I had 38 caliber ammunition in this service revolver, and when Theodore bit half of my tongue off, I instinctively pulled the weapon and I emptied it into the cat. And
do you feel that was necessary?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I feel bad about it, but I would do it all over again in a heartbeat.
You do everything the same, huh?
I would do everything the same.
You. So what do you feel bad about?
I feel bad that I'm missing half of my tongue, and that Theodore, other than that, was a pretty good cat. That's what I feel bad about. But
don't you feel guilty? I mean, did the animal have to die?
Yeah, boy, that's a great question, and it's a good question, but it's also a stupid question. I'm sorry for saying that, ma'am.
Well, I don't think it's a stupid question.
But I'm sorry for saying that, but it really is. Do I feel the animal had to die? Yes, he had to die, because I put my tongue...
You know, Dr. Sam, I gotta say, how intelligent of an animal training act is that? You're going to put your tongue kiss a Siberian tiger?
Or any kind of a tiger for that matter.
Are you Italian?
No.
Because you went any kind of a tiger for that matter.
Dr. Sadler, it's a good question. What kind of, you know, what's going through your mind there?
What's going through my mind when?
When you came up with the idea of French kissing a Siberian tiger.
I thought it would be interesting for the old ladies in the crowd, okay? I mean, there were a million things going on in that circus at the time.
All right, I'm sorry.
No. You brought it up. I'm going to just, you wanted, you paid your money. Let's take this ride all the way to the end, okay? You wanted the jungle cruise? We haven't hit the hippos yet, all right? You want to get on the Matterhorn? Great. The girl hasn't thrown up in the car in front of us yet. We're going all the way to the end. We're taking this ride all the way to the point where the thing goes straight down. And the guy in the seat in front of you, it's just a wave of vomit. Okay? You want it? You got it.
Boy, oh boy. I'm just trying to find out what it is that...
I'm going to tell you. I was in a circus. We had some of the greatest animal trainers. We had Bill Keslow. We had Junior Aberdeen. We had Robert Morey. We had some of the greatest lion tamers what had ever been. And I'm standing there with this Bengal tiger. I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? Make it roll over? I thought at once I wanted it to stand up and walk around and serve coffee. You know, I had an idea that it would have trays on its paw. It didn't want to do it. And I worked with Theodore for months trying to get him to carry the tray in and put the coffee down.
How is a tiger going to stand up on its hind legs?
Well, you can do it, you know, but it takes I had a bullwhip and a gun, and Theodore, I don't know what his problem was.
I don't think any animal's going to like a bullwhip and a gun.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. PETA.
No. It's not PETA.
Oh, yes, it is.
No, it's not PETA. It's just what animal are you going to... What are you doing to an animal with a bullwhip and a gun?
I'll tell you what you're doing. You're teaching it how to serve coffee. That's what you're doing. If you want to make that one of your big quotes, because I see that on your Facebook page, go ahead. Dr. Sadler said, what do you teach an animal with a bullwhip and a gun? You teach it to serve coffee. That's what you do.
Get in there. You teach it how to use a bullwhip and a gun.
Hey, all right, man.
Yeah, give me five. Yeah.
Get out of here. Give me five, okay?
Well, I agree. I think that teaching an animal to serve coffee, I'm sorry, were I the tiger, I would have mauled your face off.
Well, oh, really? Well, you were very... All right, so I would be horribly disfigured, and you'd have six shots. You'd be so dead. Oh, you'd be dead, dead, dead. Okay?
Well, all right. I don't know. I've never done your job. I don't want to judge you. The guys wanted to know why you lost half of your tongue. You were French kissing a Siberian tiger. Okay.
Well, you say that like you're waiting for the laughs, okay? It was not about laughs.
Well, what was it about? I mean, when you say you French kiss a Siberian tiger...
What it was about, Mr. Henry, was presenting to the people... Especially these old ladies that would come in at 2 o'clock because they got the senior discount, and they said to me, Sadler, you're on. The old ladies are here. It's yours. They gave me, because I was new, and I was the young guy, and I didn't have the pull of a guy like Junior Aberdeen or Robert Morey. These are the two of the biggest lion tamers and tiger tamers, and they tame, you know, we used to say they tame anything, man. They could tame a fat lady at Winchell's. You know, they could tame a fat lady at Winchell's to start a cardiovascular aerobics class. Now then.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. Margaret, let's take a break, okay?
Well, you don't have to ask me to do that.
No, I was going to...
What do you want?
Nothing.
Excuse me. Hold on, Phil. I'm not doing floor sweepers. Do I look like a floor sweeper guy? Well, frankly, yeah. Oh, really? I'm a doctor psychologist.
All right, we're going to take a break, Doc.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here with my special guest, Dr. Jim Sadler in San Diego. The Powerball jackpot is this year, this particular drawing, Dr. Sadler, $425 million. It's enormous. And it is your contention in some of the papers that you've written on the subject that putting that much money into the hands of someone that's not used to having that much money creates resentment among people who, not just people who worked for the money they have, but wealthy people.
And I think that we...
So to be clear, wealthy people, as in people that might be used to having $425 million?
Well, I don't know how many people are used to having $425 million. You're talking about a percentage of the so-called 1%. That's a very... even a little smaller slice of the 1%. But what you are talking about are people who are used to having millions, let's say, perhaps something as in the neighborhood of $100 to $200 million. They're very wealthy people, anyone that has that kind of money. I dare say that anyone with $20 or $25 million is a very wealthy individual. But I hasten to add that when they open up their newspaper and they see that someone who is not in their income bracket, someone who literally, in their mind, lucked into it by stopping off at places such as, and what I think makes it tougher is when they buy the ticket at a liquor store. That reinforces the stereotype that we've been working very hard to get rid of, Phil.
What is the stereotype? That they're somehow ne'er-do-wells?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think that they're somehow, I won the Powerball, I bought my ticket at a liquor store, and that reinforces in the mind of the individual that worked for the money he has. Look at this, you know, we're giving money away to alcoholics.
But that's not true.
No, it's not true. It's not true. You're right.
I mean, people are going into liquor stores to buy all kinds of things, not just booze, cigarettes, or they're going in to buy, for instance, a Powerball ticket.
Well, but beyond buying the Powerball ticket or cigarettes, what do you buy in a liquor store?
You get chewing gum. You get, I've gone into liquor stores to pick up gum.
You pick up gum. Well, I mean, okay, fine. If you want me to believe that.
That's absolutely true. I mean, if sometimes it's the most convenient place. You know, you're looking for these stores that you can get out of the car, you can walk into, bop in, and get something real fast. You don't want to go into the supermarket because you're in line behind 9 million people. Sometimes if you're looking for a pharmacy or a place like that that might sell those little, things, those are in shopping malls. But liquor stores oftentimes tend to be right there on the street.
Well, and there you go. There's part of the prejudice right there. Because a man with money, a man of means, sees some guy go into a liquor store and the very words resonate very negatively. And that guy walks out with $425 million, and here's a guy that works really hard for a living, and some guy, in his mind, he's not a bum, but it's almost like he is a bum. Because he's going to say to his wife, some bum,
Some bum what?
Some bum won the Powerball.
Because he bought the ticket in a liquor store.
Because he bought the ticket in a liquor store, because he's some bum that never, not some bum, but I mean, this is in his mind, never worked for it. And you have a situation that's set up by the person that bought the ticket, which exacerbates the tension between the classes.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's go to Henry. Henry, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Dr. Jim Sadler.
Dr. Sadler, you said that a man that buys a Powerball ticket in a liquor store is perceived as a bum and by individuals with money.
Yes, sir.
Well, I can say to you that I have earned my money, and I don't have $100 million. I don't even have $50 million or $20 million, but I've got a portfolio that's worth about $5, $10 million, and I feel very fortunate and comfortable. If I see somebody...
Does this story have an ending?
I'm sorry? You know, I've been sitting listening to you, sir, and all I hear you say is that anyone who has money is going to resent these individuals. Well, I don't resent them at all. What I do resent is you speaking for me and not very well. Not very well because I had my tongue bitten in half by a tiger. You said it, I didn't. You said it, I didn't.
All right, well, you could say it better than me.
What? Yeah, see, you're not speaking very well for me. I don't mean to make fun of your injury, but you are not speaking for me, and were you speaking for me, you would not be speaking very well for me because of the injury.
Well, are you saying that I can't be a spokesperson for people?
And you're not a spokesperson for me. I have money, and I don't resent a man for winning at Powerball, even if he is a man that bought his ticket in a liquor store. And for you to infer that anyone buying their ticket in a liquor store somehow represents a class of individual resented by people with money, I can tell you that I don't resent anybody with money. I think that people or resent people that don't have money. All right?
All right. And what about your crack about, me not speaking to you? See, here's my point. I'm here advocating on your behalf to say that people that don't have jobs and people who buy their tickets in a liquor store look like a slob and a bum to people that do not do that, like yourself. I'm working very hard to advocate on your behalf, and you call up, and the first thing you're saying to me is, listen to the funny man with the funny way he talk. You know, and...
I don't think I'm hearing that, Dr. Sadler.
I am not. I didn't say that at all. You're the one that brought up the fact that you tried to French kiss a Siberian tiger. I didn't. Let the record show you brought that up. I didn't. Well, how are you going to bring it up? You didn't know. That's true. I didn't know, and I wouldn't. And when I did find out, I didn't bring it up. All right. So, that one's on you, not on me. But once I did find out, and I heard what you were saying, I was saying you don't speak very well for me for two reasons. You don't have my opinion, and you got your tongue sawed off by a sawed in half or something by some jungle cat.
Right. What's your problem with that? See.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much, Dr. Sadler. We got to take a break.
Okay.
And thank you, sir. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I had a couple of other points I wanted to make relative to...
Phil Hendry.